chat. What if Gaster was a Discord kitten? And then just run it. I think that Gaster in the Deltarune universe is a little kitty. And I think by the end of this, you all will be forced to agree with me or I will be kicking you off the show.
I mean, that's the general premise, is we all do have to agree with everything that's said here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. Once I say it, you'll believe in it.
It becomes true. In fact, yeah. It already was true.
It's the white kind of hope. It's like the truth nuke pen, you know? But yeah, so to prove this theory, or to, you know, discuss this theory, I wanted to start by talking about some of the different cats of Deltarune. Because I think there's a very, very clear theming that cats are related to, number one, the secret bosses of Deltarune, and number two, generally the quote-unquote secret underbelly of the, like, games, files, codes, stuff like that. To kick it off, the first cat we're introduced to in Deltarune, or at least in Deltarune's Dark Worlds, is Shom. Shom is the shopkeeper from Chapter 1 that you meet very close to the start of the game, who initially just seems, you know, like a silly little stuffed cat. But as you progress through the game, you kind of realize that Shom has a connection to the secret boss of the chapter, Jevil. And then also, of course, as you go into further chapters, Shom is generally your guide as it comes to, as it, you know, deals with shadow crystals in general, talking to you about all the different bosses you can fight with that drop shadow crystals and giving you information about the lore of the world. Knowing a lot more than it seems like they should. I think it's pretty clear that Shom is somehow related to that, like, knows something about the prophecy or knows in some kind of way has outsider information. I know people have theories that, like, Shom was somehow on an adventure with Azrael and Des back in the day, or like there's some like crazy stuff with Shom, but I'm not sure about all that. But I think it's just important to note that Shom is a cat and is weird, and those two things are important. I also kind
of
want to know
view of the world grew darker yet darker.
Their view of the world grew darker yet darker, and hey, we all know who loves darker yet darker. That's a big G up top. I also want to know...
The G-Man himself.
The G-Man himself. I think it's also important to note, in Chapter 4, when you talk to Azrael's computer screen, you get dialogue about how Susie sees Shom on Azrael's laptop. So Shom is, like, specifically related to Azrael in some way. That might be his toy that he, like, left in the school or for some reason, which I think could also be relevant. I don't have anything specific like pointing with that, but I think it's important to note. The second point, I don't think there are any other cats in Chapter 1's Dark World. If anyone can think of any, let me know. I mean, maybe Clover. Clover is kind of cat adjacent.
It seems like a stretch.
It's a stretch for sure. She's not included on my list. But moving on to Chapter 2, I think one that a lot of people would miss is the tasks and task manager.
They're inarguably cats.
Tasks are inarguably cats, and task manager is inarguably a cat lady. But I don't mean a lot of people would miss it because they're cats. I think a lot of people would miss it because they have relation to the secret bosses of Deltarune. Task manager specifically has a line of dialogue where if you are holding the Jevil's tail or Jevil's knife, we'll ask you to put it away because they know Jevil, and we're like, that tricks that I don't remember the exact line, but they say something
it's
about
like chaos,
oh,
chaos, no, order, order.
Order, order,
put away
yeah, exactly.
That silly tail. I think it's what the
thing is when you had
the Jevil's tail.
Yeah, I had it down somewhere and I totally deleted it from my files. But so again, this is another example of cats being related to secret bosses in Deltarune. And then we have the smoking gun of Chapter 2, Spamton, G. Spamton himself, who for some reason is in the element system of Deltarune, there are a bunch of different, you know, types of elements that monsters are. And Spamton happens to be a cat slash puppet type darkener, which is weird, right? Because he doesn't look like a cat at all. There are no cat relations in basically any of his attacks. There's like seemingly no connection between Spamton and the concept of cats, but Spamton is typed cat puppet. The deal maker item, when you spare him in a secret boss fight, gives you a damage boost against cat type damage, or it gives you a defense boost against cat type damage, which I think both of those are like really weird because there's nothing Spamton has to do with cats. So for me, that's kind of something that I'm like, I think that's hinting that the deal maker's cat immunity might be relevant in the future for potentially a boss fight, because there aren't really many other cat darkener enemies that you fight after Spamton. I feel like, yeah, it has to come up somewhere.
And the all the other equipment that deals with type stuff is like, there's the Shadow Mantle, which is important for a secret boss. And then there's the Black Knife, which makes the Titan boss in Chapter 4 way easier.
Right.
And so this being the only other one of those and seemingly not having any importance yet, it'll probably be important at some point.
Yeah. I think I'll get to it later down the list, but I think we all know who that might be relevant for. But 100%, yeah, I think that the fact that Spamton is a cat and Dealmaker protects you from cat damage is like 100% relevant. It has like some kind of gameplay relevance. So I think that's an important thing to pick a note of. Chapter 3, not many to go off of. The first one is in the sword route. Around, I believe, I want to say it's Dungeon 3, you fight this enemy where it's a singing pink cat who does like music notes that deal damage if you walk into them. And then four white cats around that pink singing white cat that attack you if you kill the pink cat. I've seen people say this could be a reference to Sham, or it could be just in general a generic cat enemy. I'm not 100% sure what this exactly means, but again, it's on the secret boss route. And again, we're seeing cats related to the secret bosses of Deltarune. And then the other one we will get into later.
That's the big can of worms. One thing you haven't mentioned, I don't know if you're going to come back to it, between chapter 2 and 3, we got in the Spamton sweepstakes, all the stuff about cat petters.
Yep. Yeah, that is on the list as well.
We'll get there when we get there.
Yeah. Well, so the last one I have noted, other than Image Friend, is in chapter 4, we fight the three Mikes, one of whom is Cat Mike. I want to say he's the Jongler minigame.
No, he's the Pluie minigame.
Is the Pluie minigame? Okay, yeah. Oh, wait, no, yeah, there's something else with the minigames, but yeah, so he's the Pluie minigame. Again, all of the minigames are cat-themed. All of the Mike specifically is a pink and gold-eyed cat that is specifically referencing theories that people made about Image Friend being Mike.
Yeah, it feels weird to use stuff from the Mike fight in part of a theory, because yeah, like,
hard. It's hard because it is very clearly referencing this theory, and it's like a bit, but also at the same time, in the Batat minigame from the normal Mike, from the like the Green Pippins Mike. From the classic Mike, yeah, sure. Motor Mouth Mike, whatever it is. You do see what you see in the Chapter 3 boss fight against Eram, which are these little sprites of a pink and gold eyes, a big old Cheshire smile, and a cat face just floating around, attacking you, and or like, I think they give you like a random amount of fuel for your little ship. And that obviously is related to the Image Friend theories, which I think are basically proven canon by chapters 3 and 4, based on their its appearance in Eren fight and the thing, which is basically that this like vision of the file is called Inch Friend or Device Friend, which appears in the Spamton dungeon, and then in the mini boss fight against Eram, and then in the Batat minigame. I think all three of those again are related to like the kind of idea of like secret bosses, which I don't think the mics aren't necessarily secret bosses, but they're like they're secret bosses. If you go,
they are bosses who are a secret.
They are bosses who are a secret. They are non, you know, they're optional content in the game that you can.
They're not shadow crystal holders, but they are.
They are secret. They are secret. So I think that what we're supposed to learn is that Image Friend is something, again, a cat related to the secrets of Deltarune. And then, yeah, Children, if you want to get into the cat petters stuff, I think you might know more about that than me. I have some notes, but you seem like you have a point on it.
I did not come prepared for this, so you're putting me on the spot a little bit, but I'll see what I remember. So Noelle's blog, she talks about this game called Cat Petters, where it's just like a pet raising game. There's a specific game it's a reference to, because she talks about like the animals are made up of like circles.
2007.
Yeah, some shit like that. Yeah. But the main point is Noelle loved doing like secret and glitch hunting stuff in that game, and like using like editing the files to get like fucked up pet cats and stuff. And there's obviously a lot of stuff that you can get into with like Noelle and like game secrets and that like relationship and like the weird route and stuff. But I think the important thing for this is, I believe this happened in the update for the Spampin Sweep Takes that happened right before as chapters three and four came out, where they added some new pages. And I believe one of those was talking about how there was this like this mini game that she had in Cat Petters, where you could like, where, you know, it's just like a game where you like collect cats to get points. But she talked about how like there was one cat she found that was like a super secret rare one it had pink and gold eyes, and then when she like clicked on it, it reduced her score instead of giving her points. And so like that obviously means something, right? I remember what it was now. There was, in the original Spam Sweepstakes, there was a page where she described this, and then in the update, they literally added a little page where you can play this minigame, and you can actually see the Image Friend cat show up and, like, jump scare you and reduce your score. And it's like a whole thing. So that's, like, that was, other than the thing in Chapter 2, this was the first time Image Friend actually showed up in an official Deltarune thing. So that was kind of a big deal when that happened. Obviously, it was right before 3 and 4 came out, so we didn't dwell on it for long. But, like, you know, there's some stuff there, I think. Petters being so tied to, like, Noelle's thing about game secrets, which is so tied to the weird route, which is potentially tied to the prophecy, which is potentially tied to Gaster. We can start connecting the red thread here.
Yep, for sure. I think also the other important note for the Cat Petters Spamton Sweepstakes info is there's this one story about Noelle finding this glitched egg that won't hatch.
Right.
And I believe she like raises it as though it were a pet, and like it glitches out her whole game. So she like freaks out and shuts the game down. And when she opens it the next day, she gets a message saying that the cat egg, left home due to being too happy as opposed to being sad, which is what usually happens in the game. And so I think, again, this is kind of that cross-section of, like, Noelle, weird route, glitchy stuff, and, like, the genesis of cats, and also Pippis eggs, like how eggs or eggs, like as in the egg hunts and the egg rooms.
Yeah, the fact that cats become explicitly associated with eggs through this is like
Exactly, yeah.
Especially because they are not an egg-laying animal.
For sure.
And I mean, as far as we know.
Yep.
We don't know what cats do in the Deltarune universe.
Cats could be nasty. They could be nasty.
Cats are actually reptiles. Is actually the interesting thing.
Cats are freaks. But yeah. I think also the note to make is like in that minigame you're talking about with Noelle, like it that kind of mirrors itself also in the Batat minigame, where if you run into one of the mics, it like either jacks up your fuel level or takes down your fuel level. It's like a random. It's like an RNG, how it affects your score, which I think is really fascinating. And then I think the final thing is specifically for Image Friend, there's a lot of theory crafting going around based on the idea that in cat petters, bodies of cats are like circular connected, like a bunch of like interlocking circles. That is the design element on the prophecy for the tale of hell that must the tale of hell that must not be followed. And then also of course the organic, is that the name of the Darkener?
Yep.
The organic that has the line about how the children followed the tail into the woods, the poor children.
That was also a thing in the Spamp and Sweepstakes update. Was the first time we saw that.
Yeah.
Which is how people were able to decode it, because they got the first half there. And then. Yep.
But I think that also both of those two kind of as a collective pin Image Friend as something related to, number one, hell imagery, which is important for Gaster, and as well as like being an entity in the light world potentially, as opposed to a darker.
Is hell imagery important for Gaster?
The 666 stuff, right?
Yeah, Gaster is like, yeah, that's what I was going to make, is Gaster is related to 666, I believe, in the code. Fun values are like his, I think it's his, not his sprite name, what is it?
He has an unused battle like stats that are all 666.
Right, yeah.
All the fun value events use the number 6.
Hold on, this is actually
there's one other thing.
The
survey program, the original version of Deltarune, the survey program's version number was 0.6.6.6.
Right, yeah.
And then also this, and I think this actually cracks Christianity theory wide open. Hold on.
did you come up with Christianity theory without this?
Independent. This is like the smoking gun. Okay, I'll get to that later. But okay,
Neat. Well, I'll put a pin in it. Yeah. And then also I think the last connection is the noise that plays when you're outside the bunker, if you speed it up 666%, it plays garbage noise.
Oh, does it not always play garbage noise?
But specifically, if you speed it up that much, it plays the sound effect as you hear it if you call on the phone.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So it's like those two are related by a factor of 666% in an audio file. The important points for this first section is, number one, cats are important to the secrets of Deltarune. Number two, the most important of these is probably Image Friend. And number three, Image Friend specifically is related to hell and uses hell imagery. So I think those are kind of the initial takeaways that I kind of wanted to go over before I start theory crafting. Anyone have any thoughts on that before we keep pushing?
Seems pretty reasonable.
Yeah,
we have established a cat baseline. I do have one other thought, which is potentially the most significant cat character in the game.
Yeah,
which is Catty.
That's a surprise tool that will help us later.
I see. Okay, I'll let you keep grilling then.
Now kind of want to turn my attention to Undertale, because I think there are some facets of Gaster's quote unquote character that I think is kind of relevant here, which is, I think the important thing I wanted to bring up is why does Gaster have no relation to Wingdings in Undertale or in Deltarune? Like, Gaster's whole thing in Deltarune, or in Undertale, is that he's WD Gaster. He's talk to hands. He's the wingdings guy. And in Deltarune, like, none of that is really relevant. You have, like the hand motif on the knight with, like, holes in the hands. But, like, other than that, you know, all of the dialogue that we're assuming is Gaster, which I think is a pretty fair assumption, is in English. All of the, you know, information that we get, nothing really is related to hands. Nothing is related to that vibe. And so that's something that's fascinating, right? That's something I kind of wanted to get to the bottom of this as a part of the theory. And here's my concept. I think it's important to note that, or maybe it's not, maybe that's the wrong words, but part of the reason why he's so related to this Wingdings theme is because it's like a continuation on the font theme of Sans and Papyrus in Undertale. He like carries over the font idea from them, and then also, you know, the design elements are similar. He's like skeleton-y with his like white cracked kind of face.
So are you saying that he might not be a skeleton in the context of Deltarune?
My theory is I think that Gaster is kind of a manifestation of like a universal in whatever multiverse that Undertale and Deltarune are both set in. I think his like demon or his demon theming in terms of like code and all that sort of information, I think he's kind of like the devil in Deltarune in like that universe. I think that's a pretty fair assumption to make, or maybe it's like, it's obviously it's a leap, but I think he could be related to kind of just being a monster from hell. He's like some theological sort of, you know, unrelated to specifically the dark
the classic thing people point out is people have done a lot of speculation that the angel in the prophecy and stuff might be referring to Gaster. And also he literally fell into the core and shattered himself across time and space, which would make him literally a fallen angel.
Yeah. So he's like, yeah, in some way, like the player, I think Gaster is above the game or below the game, but like on a different level from the game, and is just like fundamentally a, in the same way that like a demon in fantasy is like something that you can summon or something that you can like call upon. Gaster is something that is called upon in these universes. And here's why I think this. I think that in Undertale, Sans is the person that summons Gaster. I think that Sans, at some point during this adventure, we know he is in Deltarune. We know that he is kind of related to, is going to fall into, like, if we assume that Sans is originally from Deltarune theory is true, at some point he's probably going to interact with the Dark Worlds and at some point lose his way and go through the fabric of time and end up in Undertale. If we start from this idea that Gaster is this sort of multiversal constant, similar to the player type of vibe, I think it's possible that in the world of Undertale, Sans is the person that brings Gaster there. And that's why Gaster is related to the font thing and the skeleton thing. Not because he's originally related to Sans, but because Sans is the one that summons him.
I like that idea. That's very cool.
Gotcha. Okay. Then in Undertale, so, Gaster just seems to be like, was at one point just a guy, right?
That's
people talk about him being the royal scientist, which implied he did have some kind of a role in the world.
I definitely did consider that. I think that in Deltarune, he also might just be like, you can be a guy and also a theological force in the same way that like Chris is a person, but also we're the angel, we're the like player angel or like whatever. We're some like outside force kind of acting through a vessel to put our will on the world. I think Gaster might be that in the same way. And I think that WD Gaster might be that kind of the overall force of Gaster is sort of puppeting or using that thing to exert its will on the world. Here's why I think this. Because in Deltarune, you have a character who is teed up for both of the major connections that this is making, which is a cat connection and a hell connection. Specifically, a demon summoning connection, which is Taddy Catminer. I think that in Deltarune, the reason that Gaster exists in the world is because Taddy Catminer, alongside Chris, tried and succeeded, or maybe not alongside Chris, but I think that Taddy Catminer succeeded at summoning a demon. That demon is Gaster, to the world of Deltarune. And this led to a lot of problems.
So the idea is that, like, whoever summons Gaster, like, there's some, like, visual or, like, thematic, like, reflection of the person who summoned him.
Yeah,
in his appearance in that world. That's a cool idea. I'm into this.
In the same way that, like, you know, if a god shows up on Earth, like, the lore is like, oh, they show up in a human form. It's like, they show up in the image of what summoned them. So in Undertale, he is like summoned by Sans and becomes this like skeleton wingdings man. In Deltarune, he's summoned by Taddy Catminer, who is known to summon demons, has like multiple pieces of flavor text about it. And then is a cat. And I don't think Gaster is just any cat. I think Gaster in this universe is specifically Image Friend. I think that is Gaster. I think that all the like elements of Gaster are present in Image Friend in terms of that hell connection, in terms of that like is like fundamental to the story, but is only being shown in like the most dark like back corners of the game.
And if only Caddy's hair streak was the right shade of pink, that would have been...
I mean, it's pretty close. Like, her cold color vibe. I mean, you have the pink, right? I think you just need the yellow, but it could be her
eyes. I mean, her eyes are yellow.
Yeah, her eyes are yellow. Is her pink streak not a close enough pink to the pink and gold?
Her pink streak is very hot pink, while the Spamton and Image Friend one is a lot more like light pink.
Right, you're right.
The colors do change a little bit though. Like in the Switch 2 MIDI game where you're using both mice, the pink and gold show up again, but they're slightly different colors.
But yeah. So that's because
it's in a different dark world actually.
True. but yeah. I think Taddy has those pink and gold elements that are so related to Gaster and Image Friend that could reflect with the kind of Gaster Image Friend thing that I'm pitching. And I think that in general, I also wanted to note this. I think the Catminer family all mirror Chris's journey in a major way. I think that each member of the Catminer family, I'm still figuring out Mom Catminer, but I think that the entire Catminer family is like each of them are foils in different ways for parts of Chris's story, which I think is really cool.
Wait, explain that real quick.
Yeah, so going through them piece by piece. Taddy, demon summoning. I think that there's a lot of theories going around that Chris somehow summoned the soul to them, and that's like part of their demonology sort of thing. And like if we assume this theory is true and that Taddy is somehow related to Gaster, specifically summoned Gaster, then that makes them like parallels in that sort of way, where Chris summoned the angel, Taddy summoned the devil, which I think is cool. Taddy with the Y has the whole scene in chapter 4 where she goes on and on kind of talking about the prophecy. And I think that she's kind of that connection of like, I think it's really fascinating how chapter 4 and specifically Taddy is kind of the vessel to do this. Where it's like, oh, the prophecy is diegetic. It's part of the world, and we learn about it from Taddy with a Y. in her own fun, silly little way, but like that kind of speech mirrors Chris's journey and like talks about all the things that we know happen in the game. Dad Kattenheimer is missing an arm. And
wait, what?
Dad Kattenheimer is one arm.
How did I never notice that?
It's like hard to miss, but if you look at the sprite, like at the start of the game, he's like waving with one hand, the other one, like, it looks tucked behind his shoulder, but if you look at the sprite, he's like standing straight on. He just doesn't have an arm there. But there's been a lot of theories going around that people have talked about from the, I believe, mainly spurred on by the gumball machine scene in Chapter 3, where if you input 1225 into the little machine that spits out toys, you go to like a cutscene where you pick up a black card or a black piece of lacquer, I believe they describe it as, from one of these machines, and then it says, you can't see it anymore. You can't see your own hand. Mm-hmm. People have been theorizing that Chris is going to lose their arm in one of the future adventures, based on that story, and Dad Kattenheimer being one armed again kind of parallels that for Chris. And then I haven't decided on Mom Kattenheimer yet, but I went 3 for 4.
There's a couple other things that point to the Chris loses an arm or a hand theory. There's like Susie talking about, as long as Chris has a hand to lift me up with, there's, when you're holding the shadow crystal in the light world, it looks like you can see through your hand. Mm-hmm. And there's like a bit talking about Dragon Blazers where someone loses a hand, I think, other big thing. But
yeah,
for the benefit of the viewers at home, it's not just a reach from this one thing.
Yeah. No, there are a couple of things that are like, at the very least, there's some sort of hand symbolism going on with Chris. And for Mom Kattenheimer, I don't really know. Her only character trait so far
also,
is that she has a little number one.
This is something that I just thought of. Speaking of losing a hand and a hand, I was just looking at Image Friend earlier, and I was thinking, the body sure does look like just a hand. It looks like a severed hand.
That is a good point. I did like
being like a slightly larger gap between one of the fingers and the other four. It's like if you look at the rightmost one, it almost looks like a thumb almost.
Mm-hmm. To clarify, is this the Image Friend like that we see in the beginning of Chapter 3?
Yeah, the one that's in Ralsei's monologue. Yeah.
No, that's a good call. I didn't consider that at all. And then of course you also have, you know, relations to hands being relevant to Gaster, the man who speaks in hands, yada yada yada.
And Mom Kattenheimer has a big foam finger, so she kind of has an extra hand.
Yeah, or so I think it could be. I think also it could just be like number one fan being important for something, rooting someone on.
Maybe there's something Chris is becoming Noelle's number one fan.
Chris is number one fan.
I mean, there's the whole thing people are talking about with, like, Gaster encouraging you during the night fight to be like, you were very close, try again, while you have the Shadow Mantle. So I don't know, maybe it's that. That's like, the biggest instance of someone that, like, other than, like, a party member that's, like, cheering you on. Mm-hmm, maybe this is the Mama Kattenheimer connection.
Yeah, for sure. In general, I think all four of the Kattenheimer family, or at least three of the four, and then like we'll say 3.5, because I think there could be symbolism there that we just don't have the full deets on yet. But I think that the Kattenheimer family all has like very interesting stuff going around them, and then specifically I think Katty. But yeah, so in general, I think that all four of the Kattenheimer family have some kind of connection to Chris. And specifically, I think Katty is specifically related to the evil cats of Deltarune. I think Katty somehow summoned Image Friend / Gaster. And I think that she's going to be part of the reveals of this game's deeper lore. I think she's going to be in it. From the very beginning, people have been saying, oh, Katty has like a weird talk sprite. She's going to be in a future dark world. Oh, like all this information about her. And she's like, there's nothing for in these chapters, but there's a whole ton of cats. I think that in chapters 6 or 7, we're going to get Caddy in a dark world, and we're going to get that Caddy is the one who summoned Gaster, a.k.a. Image Friend, a.k.a. Mike. Not a.k.a. Mike, but, you know. I think we're going to get that Caddy is the one who summoned them to this world.
Okay, all of this is believable, but I kind of want to poke at it a little bit more and just, like, get thoughts on...
Yeah, oh, it's very flawed. Like, there's some holes in it, but I have a framework here. But yeah, poke away.
More than holes, I just want to kind of, like... Okay, so we have this, which, a theory which, you know, could possibly work on, like... Like, it fits together details of the plot and the world. But why do you think it, like, this would matter? Like, why do you think that this would be a thing that Toby would do? Like, thematically, I guess. Like, why cats?
Why cats?
I have an idea about that.
Shoot.
Okay. So, famously, Toby Fox represents himself on the internet with a dog. And the dog shows up a lot in the games as, like, an Easter egg, as a representation of the developer. Deltarune thematically is, it's a story about stories. It's about art and the way we engage with art and, you know, taking inspiration and creating art. There's been a lot of thought about, you know, Gaster / the mystery voice being like representing the creator of this game because they exist outside of it and they insert you into it. So it's like they're the developer, they're the creator, they're the artist. And so cats as a, you know, the classic mirror to dogs being the representation of that, as a mirror to the dog being the actual creator of the video game you're playing, I think there might be something there.
Yeah, I think that's 100% feasible. I think also, like, Toby Fox pretty frequently, like, if you look at some of Gaster's lines when he talks about when the Undertale Twitter starts posting, or like at the very end of chapter 4, where it's like Toby is clearly positioning Gaster as the thing that made this game, that like produced Deltarune and served it to you. So yeah. Like, I think as a like dark mirror of Toby Fox specifically, he that you have cats as like a thematic way to represent like the fictional force that is creating this game as opposed to the real force that's creating this game.
As compared to dogs as well, cats are associated with like trickery and evil a lot more. So that also fits for like the darkness / like, you know, the dark reflection of the dog.
I also have one more thing.
I hate how much this actually seems like very legit. Like,
we need to stop doing this. We need to make stupider theories.
No, I think that's what this podcast is for. I think it's making stupid theories and filling them up with enough evidence to make them sound vaguely legit. That's what these fucking YouTube videos, these like Deltarune theories do. It's like the most shit-ass idea you've ever heard with so much evidence that it makes 100% sense. And that's what I'm here to do, baby.
I'm scared now that, like, I'm going to come next time with, like, an incredibly serious, like, theory, and it's going to, like, by the end of the episode, we're just going to be dunking on it. Like, it's going to have the reverse effect.
Dude, Christianity theory is 100% real, and I'm going to find a way to make it Hinduism theory. One more thing I wanted to mention. This is on request from our dear friend of the podcast, Wendy. Wenda, I don't know how to pronounce it, but
Dan Crabs
on Discord.com asked us to include more Jockington content. And boy, do I have Jockington content for you. How familiar are you guys with the Jockington goner theory?
I was not before today, but I saw someone make a post about it, and I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I looked it up, and I'm like, that's stupid, but I'm also into it.
Yeah,
I'm still not entirely sure.
For the benefit of the viewers at home.
Yeah, I can explain. So Jockington goner theory is basically this theory that if you look at Jockington's dialogue from the beginning of the game versus the end of the game, or like in chapter 4 versus chapter 1, in chapter 1, he talks like a normal guy. He's like, obviously he's like a weird kind of freaky dude or whatever, but he's like, he talks regular enough. And in chapter four, his dialogue is just so like broken. There's like commas in every sentence. There's like weird punctuation and weird like phrasing that he uses. It's really, really odd. I'm gonna try and pull up some like quotes, but let me see if I can find them.
While you're doing that, I can explain some of the other like stuff about this. So there is one other NPC that kind of mirrors this behavior in that they start talking normal and then by the end of chapter four talking all weird. And it's the bird in the library who likes the books upstairs, who famously looks like the only Gaster follower in Undertale, that there is not a character in Undertale that looks like them. Like all the Gaster followers are like a sprite of a different character, but it's like turned gray and there's something weird about them. But there was one that was just an original sprite. But then in Deltarune, we see this character that has the same silhouette as that mystery sprite, who's just a normal character. But by the end of chapter four, they're also talking in a very strange way. They're like forgetting what they're talking about in the middle of their sentence. And like they show up by the lake and they start saying like, wait, don't, wait, don't, wait, don't. And it's entirely unclear what they're talking about. So that's something people point to as like, oh, this person is, you know, a grayed out goner in Undertale. They're undergoing some sort of transformation / degradation into that state. And Jockington's dialogue is going that same direction. So what does that mean?
Yeah, so here's like from some of his dialogue. But, comma, if you hurt, comma, Caddy, comma, or, comma, Caddy's feelings, you will be up a capital B ball without a capital C court. Chris, comma, we were never capital C close, but now, comma, we are far, capital F. And it's like this whole, it's this weird, like, internetification of his, like, phrasing and words. Every second word has a comma attached to it. It's like weird. It's noticeably weird. And fuck you, dude.
I'm gonna cut this middle part out because we're not gonna be talking about anything. This is a good tip.
Fuck you, dude. You fucking cut me off.
I was expecting you to immediately see it.
Oh my! Yeah, I'm talking in SSFR. I haven't pulled up.
Okay, so the last bit of Jockington Goner theory is that in chapter two you can meet Jockington in the diner, and he has a bit of dialogue after you talk to him a second time that's kind of unrelated to the thing he was talking about before. And in it, he talks about how like in life you have to like be the ball, like. When the player is on the court, he does the dunk. Chris, you have to be that dunk. And then in the chapter four Titan fight, the only way it could be defeated is Susie dunking Chris into it, literally saying, get dunked on. It's a very literal dunk. And Chris is the thing being dunked. So does Jockington know how to defeat Titans? Does he know some kind of forbidden knowledge? The Goners in Undertale all knew forbidden knowledge. They knew about Gaster, who nobody else knows about. So what's going on there?
Side theory. I think that Sans learns get dunked on from Susie. That is all.
Oh, that. Okay, good. Good stuff. We'll come back to that one on a later episode.
Side theory.
I love how far this has gone from cats at this point.
Okay, actually, let me tie it back together. Well, because Jockington is like Caddy's best friend. I think that's kind of the tie-in to cats there.
Hit me.
And then specifically, if you go, I found this out like yesterday. Apparently, there's a tweet from Temmie, the real person, Undertale developer Temmie, back in like 2018. Where she just tweets with no other context, a snake is just a cat's tail. To that effect. Which
this is getting dangerously into Woody theory interpreting people's stupid shitpost territory.
I think that this is really, given how important tails are to the game, And like that just feels like a really random tweet, right?
Also, Woody Theory is 100% right.
We're not getting into this now. We can't. We don't have time.
Woody Theory is 100% right. You cannot convince me otherwise.
Mike, rebuild my Woody.
In chapter 5. We're seeing that in chapter 5, bro.
Mike, rebuild my theory.
But yeah, on that level, like around the time of Deltarune's release, we get this tweet about how a cat is just a snake's, or a snake is just a cat's tail from the dev, mirroring the tail of hell potentially being Jockington. It could be, I think what we could see is that in a later chapter, we see Jockington lead our heroes in like chapter 6 or 7 in the bunker. He leads our heroes into some sort of bad situation with Caddy, because he and Caddy are both evil. And that's all for your government mandated Jockington segment. Thank you, Ban Crabs.
Salute emoji.
And thank you, dear viewer, for putting up with us.
But yeah.
Do we have any closing thoughts?
I hate you guys so much for bringing these things that I'm like, yeah, this is going to be fun. This is going to be silly hilly. And then at the end of it, I'm like, oh my God, this game is like, we're either all in like this is either going to be like when Homestuck ended and everyone was like, well, that was disappointing. Or this is good. Or like, Deltarune is going to come out and it's going to, the ending's going to come out and it's going to be like they will be like, they'll be teaching this shit in schools, dog. Like,
famously, he started from the ending and worked backwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I 100%.
He also did not consciously create the ending.
I think that Deltarune is going to be in the Hall of Fame of all video games ever once it's done. That's why it is going to be the GOATs. It is going to be in the GOAT conversation.
Mm-hmm. It's also going to be in the GOAT conversation because one of the three main characters is a GOAT.
That is true. That is a true statement that you just said. Fuck you.